Good morning. Welcome to each of you to the Lord's house this morning. We'd like to have, as always, encourage everyone to please sign the friendship register at the end of the pew and pass it on down the row for your neighbors to sign as well. If this is your first visit to Berry Christian Church this morning, we want to say a special welcome to you, and we'd like to invite you to visit with us at the back of the church following our service today. We'll be back there shaking some hands. If you'd drop by and let us know this is your first visit with us, we'd be honored to share a small gift with you before you leave today. Inside your bulletin this morning, there is a flyer that details the progress of our funding for the youth director's position and for the general fund of January 2020, and the final outcome and expenses of our giving in 2019. For the current month, we also continue to report our finances on the back of each Sunday's bulletin. As soon as we receive further information from our regional minister, Bill Roseheim, who was here with us last week, concerning the meeting that we had after service last week, we'll convey that information to the congregation. From the display over here on your right, you can see that during February, we're collecting supplies such as paper towels, toilet paper, diapers, baby wipes and such for the Hope House, which provides a safety net for women and children suffering from abuse in Kansas City. Please look over the bulletin announcement page to learn more about upcoming events and our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. And note also that today, following our service, right around noon, we'll have a brief informational meeting for all of our youth volunteers in the fellowship hall. And Kathy Gorman had an announcement first service. Is she? Oh, there she is. Okay. I didn't see you, Kathy.
Good morning, everyone. I don't want you to forget the Easter resurrection party for the kids. It will be held in the Fellowship Hall on Palm Sunday, April 5th at 2 p.m. The sign-up sheet for this year's party is back there on the table in the lobby. Be sure to get your kid's name on the list. And grandparents, please bring grandkids. There will be a scavenger hunt, egg races, palm walk, viewing of the tomb, games, VeggieTales Easter show, popcorn, candy, cookies, prizes, and most importantly, a service project for all the kids. And the Easter Bunny will be here this year. If you would like to help with the games and just help overall with it, just let me know. I'll be glad to have you help. This is a great time to show the youngest among us how thankful we are for the resurrection of our Lord and Savior.
Please rise for the call to worship. Now that we have been put right with God through faith,
we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
He has brought us by faith into this experience of God's grace in which we now live. Who has now made us God's friends. The Lord rules over all nations. His glory is above the heavens. Let us sing hymn number 90, all stanzas.
Come, Christians, join to sing, Alleluia, Amen. Love, praise to Christ we bring, Alleluia, Amen. Let all with heart and voice before His throne rejoice. Praise we with grateful choice, Alleluia, Amen. Come, lift your hearts on high, Alleluia, Amen. Let praises fill the sky, Alleluia, Amen. Christ is our guide and friend, on whom we can depend. His love shall never end. Alleluia, amen. Praise yet our Christ again. Alleluia, amen. Life shall not end the strain. Alleluia, amen. On heaven's blissful shore, His goodness we'll adore, singing forevermore. Alleluia.
Thanks to our acolyte this morning, Abigail Jacobo. Let me bow in a moment of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we do give thanks for the privilege to gather in your house, for the joy of worship, fellowship, and communion with our brothers and sisters here at Berry. While we are many, and each of us unique, we also celebrate that we're one in the body of Christ, and we welcome his presence through the Holy Spirit now, as it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning. Please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first verse of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here.
scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Oh my goodness.
Good morning, good morning. Look at all these bright, shining faces. Now you have to shine. That means you have to smile. When I say bright, shining faces, you got to smile at everybody so they believe me when I say that. Otherwise, they're going to go, yeah, right, whatever. I want to talk to you today. What have I got here? What's this? Yeah, puzzle pieces. Yeah, do you like puzzles? Do you like jigsaw puzzles? Yeah, I do too. I want to talk to you about partnerships. Do you know what a partnership is? What do you think? Yeah, when people work together, two people or more, they work together to get something done, to accomplish something. We have lots of partnerships going on right here in our church. Your mom and dad, they're partners. Your friends can be partners with you, yes. Our congregation, we partner with each other to help. But did you know that that Mateo is not happy? Because his partner cannot get away from him. Did you know that God is your partner? Or at least he wants to be your partner. Just like these puzzle pieces. It takes lots of puzzle pieces to make a puzzle, doesn't it? One puzzle piece doesn't do too much good. Even two puzzle pieces. They'd have to be really big puzzle pieces. These are pretty big. God gives everybody, kind of like puzzle pieces. He gives us talents. He gives us gifts. He gives us things that we can use together to make something happen. What do you suppose happens if we all, whoopsie, if we all work really well together and use our puzzle pieces together? What do you think we're going to get? What do you think? What do you think, Miss Abby? What do you think? What will we have if we use all our puzzle pieces together?
We stick them together.
We stick them together, then what do we get? We get a puzzle. Look at that. A puzzle. All put together. All the pieces in place. They're working together to make the picture work. What do you think might happen if we took our puzzle pieces, you took your puzzle pieces, and I took mine, and they took theirs, and Kathy took hers, and we all decided to do what we wanted to do with them. What do you think we'd end up with? What do you think? What do you think, Annalise? A big mess. It would not make a pretty picture like that, would it? I kind of think it might look a little more like that. Yeah, because this puzzle piece wanted to do things its own way. And this puzzle piece over here didn't want to do nothing. So it's kind of hiding under here. And this puzzle piece up here says, thank you, Lord, for the inspiration, but I got it now. I can handle it. I can do it on my own. We all do that sometimes. We just need to remember to take our puzzle pieces, all work together, and we end up with a finished project that looks really good. We do that a lot. We have a lot of projects in this church that we all work together. And they come together. We just need to always do it. Can we have a little prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for always being with us, providing us with our puzzle pieces, our gifts, our talents, the means that we have, each one of us, to help where we can. Please always help us to use our puzzle pieces in the best way possible, to seek your guidance in how we use our puzzle pieces. Help us to always remember to share and care for each other. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen.
And as we're privileged to go to God in prayer this morning, we certainly want to lift up Grace Kimmerling, as she is now in rehabilitation at the North Kansas City Hospital. Rihanna Ralston continues to be in our prayers, as she is still striving to gain enough health to be able to go through surgery. Dave Haynes is in our prayers, as he is still on that pathway to seek out the possibility of lung transplant. Art Kinder is with us this morning. Art, God bless you. We're glad you're with us again in worship. And Don, we lift you up, Don, every day. We hope that the visits with the doctors this week will give you some more direction and understanding as to what's taking place. We also remember Mary Otto. We also lift up Robin Egret and Glenn Bartley and Michelle, and we are indeed privileged to be in the Lord's house this morning in worship. So may we bow our heads for a time of prayer. Loving and gracious God, we are privileged to gather as fellow believers in your house of worship, for here we know we draw strength from your Spirit's presence and from our fellowship with one another. For as Hebrews chapter 10 tells us that we are to encourage one another, and as Ecclesiastes 4 tells us we are to know that two are always better than one. Yet we know also, God, that our fellowship is guided not by the whims of popular culture, but rather by the tried and true principles that we hope are aligned with guidance from your word and the teachings of your Lord, our Lord, and your Son, Jesus Christ. For 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 tells us that if we walk in the light as Christ is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And although we may find ourselves sometimes faltering in the midst of our daily concerns, we know, God, that your Holy Spirit strengthens us and gives us support day to day. For as Psalm 32, verse 8 declares, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. And in matters of discernment, your word gives us clarity of thought and purpose. For Isaiah 30, verse 21 tells us, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. So it is with confidence that we are renewed in fellowship, and as we step forward with the task and duties of this new week, we know that your Holy Spirit, and certainly the blessing of other people of faith, are with us day by day. For this we give thanks, O God, as we also recite the prayer that our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Kathy, we thank you for reading our scriptures this morning.
This morning's reading is from Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 16. In your pew Bible, number 940 through 941. Now during those days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose 12 of them, whom he also named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and his brother Andrew, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor.
Good morning. I don't normally address you at this time, but I would just like to ask everyone to please pray with me for a moment. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this church, and thank you for these people. Lord, I ask that as we listen to the choir sing today, that if we must applaud, let us be reminded that we're applauding for you and not for a performance. For as you know, Lord, this is not a performance. This is just us worshiping you, and that's the only reason why we're here. So bless this day and bless the song, and you've already blessed everyone, and please bless the message that you have for us today. Amen.
Yeah.
regeneration, the hymn that we are singing for our communion hymn, has called us to come to our knees as we humbly receive God's great mercy and forgiveness of our sin. Revealed through the blessed gift of life eternal, we turn to hymn number 425, Let Us Break Bread Together, as we sing stanzas 1 and 3.
Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, O Lord, have mercy on me. Let us praise God together on our knees. Let us praise God together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, O Lord, have mercy on me.
And as we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me. And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. May we bow our heads as Barbara leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and always showing us you are with us in all that we do. As we gather at this communion table to eat the bread and drink the wine, I hope we remember the gift your Son gave us on the cross that fateful day. Be with us today and always in our hearts. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning.
Thank you.
One Chiefs player has gotten into the habit of giving generously as a way of celebrating. You may remember him, number 91. He was making snow angels in the confetti covering the field after the Super Bowl win. But long before the Super Bowl, Derek Nnadi had been helping out all season long by paying for the adoption fees of a dog with each Chiefs win through the Derek Nnadi Foundation's partnership with the Kansas City Pet Project. But before the Super Bowl, he pledged to pay the adoption fees of all the dogs housed at that facility if the Chiefs actually won the game. Thus, in the end, his contribution completely emptied out the shelter, as homes were found for over 100 dogs. Derek shows us by his personal example that we can bring a lot of joy to others simply by celebrating our own joy by giving. With these thoughts in mind, we receive our tithes and offerings as Lana leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Holy Father, we first say thank you for the place we have here in this community, this lovely hill and this lovely church. We thank you so much. We thank you for the congregation and the loving, giving ways that they have, not only in money and funding, but also in their service and volunteerism throughout the weeks and months of the year. We just ask that as we take these gifts and offerings, you will bless the givers and bless those who receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In the name of Christ, we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. May we bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, we're indeed grateful for the privilege to be in your house and to understand why it was that Jesus chose apostles. In his name we pray. Amen. So we are continuing this series of messages I've been calling the Why Jesus series, asking questions about, well, why did Jesus do certain things? And today we do ask the question, why was it that Jesus chose to have 12 apostles? Now, we know that Jesus had many that we would have called disciples, even as we ourselves call ourselves disciples of Christ today. The word in Greek for disciples means to be a pupil, a follower, or a believer. And there were a multitude of men and women who felt that they were learners of Jesus, as we believe we are even today. But we also know that Jesus was very deliberate about choosing 12 whom he called apostles. And so deliberate was he that the text tells us here in Luke chapter 6, verse 12, that he was up the entire night praying to God as he was discerning who those 12 would be among those who had been disciples. But as the 12 were chosen, we know that even the name apostles gives us a strong hint as to one of the main reasons why Jesus chose 12 to be apostles. In the Greek, it's the word apostolai, and it simply is a reference to one who is set apart to go out into the world. And and this is probably the major reason why Jesus, first of all, chose to set aside 12 men. He knew that his message had to continue on before him. And there was no internet. And there was no other electronic means in order to keep the word going. Jesus knew that the only way that his message could continue was by oral tradition, the telling and retelling of the story of his life and how he had touched the lives of so many. And so, we know that it was only after Christ's appearance, after his resurrection, as he was there among his followers in that resurrected form for 40 days, that's what convinced many of the disciples and certainly the apostles that he truly was the Messiah. And therefore, we know that of the 11 remaining apostles, they certainly, with all due diligence, went out and about the world sharing the news about what Christ was all about and that he truly was the Son of God. The story of Christ would have died if it had not been for Jesus' emissaries, these 12, and certainly, of course, many others, going out and sharing the news of what they had experienced in Christ. But for today's message, why was it that Jesus chose 12 apostles? I would also propose to you that there was a second very significant reason why Jesus chose 12 to be the closest companions that he had. We see that it really boiled down to companionship and support, did it not? And we see this described in such meaningful ways as we look at how Jesus conversed with his apostles. And I think the most succinct portion of Scripture to let us get a hint of that personal connection that Jesus had with his apostles comes to us in John's Gospel. Just as Jesus had finished up the Lord's Supper and prior to his departure with them into the Garden of Gethsemane and ultimately to his arrest. In that time period, John's Gospel gives us such a distinctive amount of detail about what Jesus knew he needed to convey to them before his departure. And yet we see in those chapters such great love and compassion Jesus has for the 12. Look at John chapter 13 here. The text says, Jesus had always loved those in the world who were his own, and he loved them to the very end. But as we move on to the 14th chapter of John, verse 1, Jesus says to them, believe in God and believe also in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house, and I am going to prepare a place for you. I would not tell you this if it were not so. And a little bit further in the 15th chapter, the 11th verse, Jesus says to them, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Love one another as I love you. And then, of course, we know that Jesus was indeed blessed and benefited greatly from the level of support and intimacy that these close relationships gave to him, in spite of the fact that it wasn't easy, was it? We know that remember our series of messages about the apostles, that these were young men, many of them probably late teenage years, early 20s. They had conflict with one another. Who was going to be the greatest among them? There were times that they doubted whether Jesus was really, truly the Messiah or whether he really was the Son of God. Remember, as he calmed the storm, they said, well, who is this guy who has the ability, the power to calm the waves and the sea, if you will? They're still questioning him, are they not? But yet, in spite of all of that, we know that Jesus found a great deal of companionship and support by simply having a group of very close and committed people walking alongside him. Even in the midst of great popularity and fame, the life of one young Kansas Cityan has reminded us of the significant value of close personal relationships. We've wondered, how is it that a 24-year-old young man can be so cool, collected, and articulate in the face of much pressure to perform and perform well for thousands of people? Who am I speaking of? Obviously, right? But after all, how many of us have 2 million followers on Instagram? Can you imagine trying to answer all that? But yet, I noted that in the A section of the newspaper, Kansas City Star, on Sunday, the 2nd of February, there was an interesting article. Started out in the front of the page. Had to work way into the back of that A section to read the story. But the author stated, well, there's this thing called a network, if you will. A girlfriend, high school sweetheart, well known before the fame, and there is family, friends, a trainer, and faith. A photo in his high school yearbook depicts his inclusion in a Bible study group. And Mahomes writes for the yearbook, I think it is very important to be a leader of faith because God gave me a talent that I realize he gave me for a purpose, to show my beliefs and to lead people to him. And concerning those closest to him, Mahomes said well before a Super Bowl win, I've always been big on loyalty. That's one of the things I've tried to believe in. The people who have been with you since the beginning and have been with you since you weren't anybody, kind of bringing them along with you. But speaking about his friends, the article went on to say, when they get together, they forget they're hanging out with the youngest NFL quarterback to throw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns in a season. They wonder if he forgets too. And they wonder if that's intentional. Mahomes shows us that meaningful relationships are far more important than fame, fortune, or even winning. Because meaningful relationships do what for us more than anything? They ground us into understanding what is most significant. And so when we ask the question this morning, why was it that Jesus chose to have 12 of these somewhat rambunctious young men following along and journeying with him throughout the duration of his ministry? We know that Jesus needed to have the connectedness of close friendships that could be a level of support for him. And you know, as we reflect upon the fact that we're a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church, is it not true that we too, in order to be spiritually equipped, need to foster meaningful, close relationships with people of faith? For on so many occasions, I have heard people say to me over the years, well, you know, Pastor, my friends at church, in so many ways, are even more meaningful to me than relatives. Because you can't choose your relatives. But I know that in church I have the people of faith who share the same values. And sometimes that doesn't happen among relatives, does it? Not sometimes. Right? But yet in the fellowship of believers of faith, we find great renewal. As John chapter 15, verse 4 says, Jesus said to his disciples, his apostles, remain united to me and I will remain united to you. A branch cannot bear fruit by itself. It can do only if it remains in the vine. And so in the same way, you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. Jesus chose 12. We can choose to walk alongside one another and also find great support, can we not? Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is that day you need to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is that day you need to come forward to become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I want to extend the invitation to you as we turn to our hymn of invitation. It's number 479. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 4. Of 479, we have heard a joyful sound. May we stand and sing. Somebody took my hymn book. Here we go.
We have heard a joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the gladness all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the ways. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free. Highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Please have a seat for a moment, if you will. It is truly our privilege to welcome Ron and Sharon Gallup as they have chosen to become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. Y'all have been attending with us now for several months now. And checking us out, right? And we have certainly enjoyed your presence among us. And I know you both have made your confessions of faith and you've been baptized. But again, I do ask again, do you believe with all your heart that indeed Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, as you have made that confession? And I welcome you into the fellowship of Berry Christian Church, Ron and Sharon. It is truly our joy to welcome both of you. God bless you, and we want to encourage you to come to the back in a minute, and we'll say hello to everybody. So let us please welcome Ron and Sharon Gallup. Thank you so much. May we have a word of prayer as we stand afterward for the closing song. Lord God, guide us and direct us as we step forward in ways that we know your Spirit is guiding us. And in our fellowship with one another, may we truly find great strength and renewal. For in fellowship, as was the case for Christ, we know that we are drawn ever closer to you. It's in his name that we give thanks as we depart from your house. Amen. Let us sing.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. When we are called to part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again.